Okay, what we're going to do today, I got this one, order versus chaos. We're going to talk about the feast. We've been talking about the feast, but I want to talk about the feast in the framework of order versus chaos, Moed and Moedim. And I have a bunch of scriptures up here. I don't know if we get to all of them or not. But I also wrote down, and I'm sorry, I wrote this later, but the Noahide laws, you can come up here and take a picture, or you can look them up, or however you want to do it. So anyway, but these are Noahide laws, and I just want to read them real quick, because I want to go to something. And not to worship idols. This is what the Jews came up from the Talmud, and they wrote it down years and years ago. They get this out of Genesis, some of the things. And they believe that this is what was given to Noah's sons to go. Do what? Evil. Yeah, okay. So anyway, it says, not to worship idols, not to curse Elohim, to establish courts of justice, not to murder, not to commit adultery, bestiality, or sexual immorality. That's what SI is over there. Or not to steal, not to eat flesh torn from a living animal. Now, this is what they're saying that we should live by. That would be, and they have it in their writings that if we as Gentiles who come to know Yahweh and Yeshua, that these are the things, if we do these things, we're righteous. That's what they're saying. That's what they teach. All right, let's go to Acts 15 real quick. Okay, so because here's what's funny. You're going to see that there's a mixture of how the Jews who believe in Yeshua also think from the people who don't believe in Yeshua. Because the ones who believe in Yeshua really say that we're not one law. Most of them are not one law. They say we still go by this. Okay, so I just wanted to read this because I wanted to bring in Acts 15. You know, this is what was handed down. In verse 19, it says, therefore, my judgment, and this is what James and the apostles came to their reasoning. You know these scriptures, but I wanted to read them again. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles or the nations. I'm going to go back and forth. Gentiles and nations is the same thing. Okay, it means all the people other than Israel who turn to Elohim. So he's saying we're not to trouble these people who's turning to Elohim. That we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, sexual immorality, things that were strangled, and from blood. And it says, in verse 21, it says, from the ancient generations, that's plural, that means all these generations, Moses has in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read when? Every Sabbath in the synagogues. Now, I thought it was funny. I just want to throw this out here. Every Sabbath, he's read in the synagogues. But if you notice, the four things that he told them, he said, we're not going to trouble them. And so he says, you need to abstain from these things, from polluted by idols, sexual immorality, things strangled in blood. Let me just say this. All of those four things are tied to idolatry. That's what it was all about. It was all tied to idolatry. But did you notice here that in the four, he didn't put Sabbath and feast and festivals, that you need to do these things. This is where the body of Messiah today is sort of crossed up because of what they're believing, is they're saying that we don't have to do the Old Testament or we don't have to do the Torah. But can you agree with me that whenever Luke wrote this, that they didn't have a Sunday church? That they didn't worship on the first day? That didn't come to a couple of centuries later, maybe three centuries later, that you have this first day worship or this sun worship. So he didn't have to put that in the list because he knew where these believers that were turning to Elohim was going to be. Where were they going to be? In the synagogues on Shabbat. But the way it's taught now is the church, Paul and the church, they had their own different church. They had their own different building. It wasn't that way back then. I'm going somewhere, so just bear with me, of order versus chaos. Let's jump down to verse 28, and he says it again. He says, For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, and to us to lay down on you no greater burdens than these requirements. He tells them again that you abstain from things sacrificed to idols, from blood, from things that's been strangled, and sexual immorality. And then he says this, if you keep yourself from these, you will do well, farewell. So the church world today is saying we got only a few things that we need to do. Shabbat's not listed. The feast is not listed. And I was thinking, I don't know what. What did Yeshua say the two greatest commandments was? Love Yahweh and love your neighbor. It didn't even make this list. As well as do not murder. Now, I wrote down in my little old thing here, because he put sexual immorality. I said the poor fornicators, adulterers, and homosexuals, they made the list. And that's one of the things that's rampant in the congregation today. It's rampant in the church today is fornication, adultery, and homosexuality. And that at least made the list. I'm like, hello, what's going on here? I had a few things. Let me say it this. This is really what this is, and we're going to move on. What Acts was for, he laid ground rules. That's all he was doing. He laid, table manners. He laid down ground rules for the Gentiles and the Jews to be able to have table fellowship, to be able to have service together. Because idolatry was rampant in that day. They had many, many gods. They had a god for everything. And they would always, when they would go and eat, they would always, if they had a restaurant, like if we were in their day, if Lucedale was sitting in Israel in that day, every one of these restaurants would be offering up their food for idols. Then when you went to the restaurant, then that's what you would do. You would be eating. So that's why he was saying you couldn't trust, the Jews couldn't trust, or Israel couldn't trust that these people are not still worshiping idols here and coming over here worshiping Yahweh here. And so that's what this was for. And then not only to make these things worse, our Jewish brothers come down who don't know Yeshua, and even those who do know Yeshua still say that this is what we need to follow. Is that not the case? That's the case. All right, now, let's now go to the feast and the festivals. Let's go to, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Numbers 15:16 first. You know how you do things on speed dial? I was on speed talk there just for a few minutes. Because, guys, this is so important that we understand that there's two sides of a coin. Christianity and Judaism as a whole is still trying to get us not to do what the Word says to do. That's what they're trying to do. And they, that's just what they're doing. Well, let me read this too. I read this. This is off of Jewish Encyclopedia. This was an article of Saul of Tarsus, states this. This comes from the Jewish Encyclopedia. It says, according to Acts, Paul began working along with traditional Jewish line of proselyting in the various synagogues where the proselytes of the gates. And he says, e.g., Exodus 20, verse 9. And then it says, and the Jews met, and only because he failed to win the Jews to his view, encountering strong opposition and persecution from them, did he turn to the Gentile world after he had agreed at a convention with the apostles at Jerusalem to admit to the Gentiles into the church only as proselytes of the gates? That is, after their acceptance of the Noahide laws. This is from the Jewish Encyclopedia. So what they're saying is Paul went out to reason with the Jews, and because he failed in his ministry, he left the Jews and went to the Gentiles. That's in their encyclopedia. That's what they teach. So you see now that whenever our Jewish brothers who get saved, who accept now Yeshua, whether it's MJAA or whatever these acronyms happen to be, they still believe that the Gentiles or the nations only have to abide by these laws. Do you see Shabbat in there? Do you see the feast in there? It says, yeah, you don't have to eat clean. Because it says you just can't eat the flesh torn from a living animal. In other words, you can't be a lion. You can't go grab something live and start tearing its flesh and eating it. That's all they're saying here. So this is why the feast, this is why Shabbat and the feast are so, so important. The Moedim is about seasons. Remember I said something last week? I said, isn't it amazing to me? It's amazing to me. And I said, it should be amazing to us. When it gets, well, right now you go outside and it's hot. This is the last of September. And it's still hitting 90 degrees. I was still amazed that the leaves are falling off the trees. The leaves are falling. I got leaves all in my yard. And it's just as hot today as it was in July. The mornings are a little cooler. But when it hits about 10 o'clock to about 3 o'clock, 3:30, guys, it's hot. Is it not? If you're outside, you know it's hot. It's thankful for air conditioning. But seasons, Moedim, it keeps us, it keeps order. It doesn't matter how hot it is outside. If we're in the season of fall and Yahweh set it in motion, guess what's going to happen to the trees? They're going to go into the fall molding. They don't care what the temperature is outside. They're going to obey. Creation obeys the voice of the Father. This is why the Moedim is so important. We don't have Moedim here. We don't have Moedim in the church. We don't have them teaching and telling us what we need to be doing. And if we're not doing what the Moedim says to do, then guess what? We're just winging this thing. We're just winging this thing, and we're just feeling that whatever feels right or whatever we want to do, we can do it. While creation is still dropping its leaves in the fall and is still putting on leaves, how many times, you know, me and Doug, we sit here and we talked about this, February. There's a lot of times in early, the end of January and February, especially in February, it'll still be cold. You'll see things start budding out. And now we're saying, I hope it don't freeze. It's going to kill the buds. But the thing about it is, but the Father, we don't have a bunch of dead forest around here. He knows what He's doing in His times and seasons. We're governed by these times and seasons. Amen? Okay, let's go to Genesis. Yeah, is that Numbers 15? Oh, I didn't read that, did I? You want to read that? 15, 16. That's important because guess what we're under?
May I read 15 with it?
You can read whatever you want to, babe.
Then as for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before Yahweh. There is to be one law and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Amen.
Amen. It done away with that. Did it not? It wiped that clean. There's no Noahide laws. That was invented. The thing about it is there's one law, there's one Torah for Israel and all of the people that attach themselves to Israel. If you attach yourself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Yeshua, there's one law, there's one Torah. There is no separation. So guys, that's why it's important. This is why is our nation is in chaos. They're trying to impeach a president without just because they don't like the man. If you start impeaching people because you don't like them, they didn't like the Supreme Court justice. They want to impeach him. Do you know what road this goes down? Just because you don't like somebody, now the next group is just going to throw them out of office? What is that going to do to a governing nation of people that's supposed to be governed by laws? It's going to throw it into what? It's going to throw it into chaos. They worrying about gun laws now? You get throwing it into chaos where you have a revolt going on, they're going to see more guns than they thought was out there. That's what's going to happen. Because the thing is people are going to try to force you to do what they do and way they think. Just what happens. When you get out of His laws and commandments, when you get out of law, your chaos follows. Okay? And I just wanted to bring that up because Acts, it is important that we tell people that in Acts, it was about table fellowship. It was not trying to set them up because they're Gentiles that they don't have to follow His word. that it was trying to bring them into where they could go into the synagogue and have peace while they were learning, because Moses is taught when? Every Shabbat. So James didn't have to put in there, you have to go to Shabbat, because they were already doing Shabbat. There was nothing but Shabbat then. There was no first day, second day, and all the other days. They were doing Shabbat. That's what James, just because Yeshua came, they didn't say, well, we're going to change our day of worship. Like the church said, that's not what happened. They kept following. And I'm going to tell you another thing. Paul did not fail talking to the Jews. He did not fail. He was called to go to the Gentiles, to the nations. He was called to go to the rulers. But he did go to the Gentiles. And he did go to the Jews. And there was many of them converted under his ministry. You see a lot of them that way. Barnabas and Silas and a lot of these people. But they don't like him, so they're gonna pull something on him. Okay, so one law. All right, let's now go to Leviticus 23:4. I'm going to try to hit a lot of little scriptures. You guys know this one here. I just picked this one because it talks about appointed feast and appointed times. Leviticus 23:4, it says this. There are appointed feasts of Yahweh. There's holy convocations, which you shall proclaim, because this is the important thing. That you shall proclaim at what? At the appointed time. There's a time appointed for everything. But there's a time appointed. Every seventh day, there's a time appointed. You have to understand this. The Sabbath, Shabbat, is a moed. It is an appointed time for an appointed season. It just happens to be on the seventh day of every week. It's important. Not the first day, not the third day, not any other day. That's not the time that's appointed. There's appointed because it's there because it governs our lives. It keeps us in order. It keeps the order of things. Creation, think about what we said last week. Whenever a lion is going to be able to graze grass again with an ox and with the calf, what is he doing? He's putting things back into proper order. Sin caused chaos, and it caused all of this stuff that happens because in the beginning, it wasn't so. They didn't have the killing and tearing of animals and all of that back in the garden. All right, let's go to Genesis 1:14-15. And I want to start with this. Now, I got a few little paragraphs from Tim Hegg that I thought was very interesting, so I'm going to read those in just a moment as we tackle a couple of these things, because he said it really well. And it says this in verse 14, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night. Let them, what is them? The lights in the expanse. Let them be for what? Signs and what? Seasons. Seasons there is moed. These are times and seasons. These are appointed times. That's why I said what I said a while ago. The leaves are falling off of the trees because this is the time that they do that. We're going into the fall. No matter what the temp is outside, this is what's happening. And these signs and seasons are for what? For days and for years. See, it tells us that every seventh day we have a Shabbat. And every so many days in the month, we have whether it's Pesach, unleavened bread, Shavuot, Sukkot, Feast of Trumpets is what we're fixing to have in these months. So he tells us that in these seasons, they're for days and years. And these seasons is the reason for these seasons. Passover needs to stay in the spring. If you don't have seasons, then Passover, if you go by just a calendar, Passover, the way things rotate and all of the stuff, it can easily be in the fall one year, and you got Sukkot. Now, I already said this already. I'm so thankful for my mind's sake that we're on the same plane with Jerusalem. If you look at longitude, latitude, however that works, we're right there with them. Because the seasons of our friends in Kenya, our seasons down on the other side of the equator, is totally opposite. They're doing Sukkot in the fall. spring, that's right. They're doing Sukkot in the spring. Mess your mind up. That'd mess your mind up. But yet, when are the people of Elohim that believes in the times and seasons below the equator, when are they going to do Passover? Whenever the scriptures tell you to do Passover with Jerusalem. Because it keeps things where? In order. Without it, there's chaos. There's chaos. I'm just saying, this is why we have so much chaos today. If people can just follow the book, everybody who calls themselves a believer in Yeshua the Messiah or Jesus Christ, I'm just going to say it like that. Amen? If we could just follow the book, even though we might not agree on every nuance, if we could do that, could you imagine how much farther along? If you had the whole town and you had the whole community doing trumpets on Monday, man, you'd hear shofars all over this county. You know what I'm saying? You would hear it all over this state. You would hear it all over this land. You would hear it all over. Could you imagine the revival or the restoration that could be happening, the excitement of the whole nation doing the feast and festivals? Not just one little community of pockets all over the place. Totally amazing. But they said, we don't have to worry about the Moedim. We just got to worry about a few of these things. Or a few of these things that we don't cross the line here. Well, then guess what? That's why we got what we've got. Everything's made up to what we do. Where am I at? Verse 15, did I read that one? It says, let the lights in the expanse of the heavens give light upon the earth, and it was so. Tim Hegg wrote this part right here. It says, why is this important? It is important because it shows that the festivals of Elohim reveals in the Torah that they are connected with creation first. That the very festivals are connected with creation first. Not with the covenant first, but it's connected with creation first. That's why this is important. That is to say, Elohim designed the universe itself, the sun, the moon, and the whole planetary structure, in order to point and to regulate the festivals, the Moedim. Thus, the Moedim are first and foremost part of the created order, not merely part of a covenant made with Israel at Sinai. That's the key that you have to understand. That's why the festivals, it keeps us in order. We are people that's made of order. Our bodies, Melissa's here today, hallelujah. I'm glad you made it here. Most people wouldn't have come just getting out of the hospital. But see, she can tell you that her organs, it's made of order. If something blocks a duck, guess what? It's out of order, isn't it? And it creates pain, and it takes morphine for her to function. Okay? So the thing about it is this is what happens. Our body is made of order. If something's out of order, then you got a problem. If you don't believe me, ask the doc over there. He'll tell you. That's on his test questions. You better know it. Okay, so this is the first thing that we see. Okay, now let's go to Leviticus 23:14. This is the second thing that the feast speaks to us. This is number two. Leviticus, and I just picked some scriptures because I'm going somewhere with these scriptures. Because in Leviticus, and I'm not going to read them all, but as you read, not only in Leviticus 23:14, we're going to look at 21, but as you look at it's all through the Torah. It says, I just picked one here, and it says, and you shall eat neither bread nor grain, parched or fresh, until the same day, until you have brought an offering of your Elohim. Now, this is what I want you to gather. It says, it is a statute for how long? It is a statute forever. What is a statute? It's a law or a commandment. That's what it is. Statutes are laws or commandments, precepts. Statute is a law. It's a commandment. That's what we have, statutes. Lawyers, you know what that is. So it says this is a statute. It is a law forever throughout what? Throughout your generations. We read that a while ago about generations. So there's a statute. How long does it last? Forever. Who does it go to? It goes to the generations. And where does it go to? In all of your dwellings. So it tells you, it doesn't matter. It didn't say in the land of Jerusalem. It said in all of your dwellings, because he knew we would be scattered amongst the nations. So a statute, the law and commandment, generation is for all of us. And it's for all of our dwellings, no matter where we live. This is what's important, number two, about the Moedim. The Moedim, because this is talking about a feast and festival. Verse 21 will say this. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day, and you shall hold a holy convocation. Holy convocation is what we're doing right here today. Gathering together. Midrash in his word, celebrating, praising. We'll be breaking bread, you know, but we have a holy convocation in here. And it says, you shall do no ordinary work. And it says again, it is a what? A statute forever in all of your dwelling places throughout what? All your generations. You will see these three tied together back and forth, that it is a statute. It is for all the generations and no matter where you live. So there's no excuse because we live in Loosedale, we can't do Sukkot. Now I'm going to tell you this. Is everybody going to do Sukkot perfectly? No, we don't do that. Whenever Yeshua returns and when we set up the kingdom and we're going to do, because we're going to get to Zechariah, I hope, because that's why I'm doing fast speaking. You know, try to get to these scriptures, because this is very, very important that you know that it starts with Shabbat, but it ends with the feast. And if we don't have that in our lives will be full of chaos. It just is. It just is. Okay. We got 31. It says the same thing. It says do no ordinary work. It's a statute forever throughout all your generations and all your dwelling places. And so on and so forth. All right, let's go to Isaiah 56. Because, guys, this is the nail in the coffin. Isaiah 56:3. I wanted to get here. I thank the Father in this new year that we got coming up. When I say new year, I'm talking about a new set of years. I think we're going to be like Paul was. He's going to give us opportunity to be able to minister to people, prominent people, to be able to speak. And the thing about it is, it's not a coincidence. I didn't know this until the other day. We're sitting here and we're ministering the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. We hadn't got through all of them. When we come back from Sukkot, we'll hit prophecy, tongues, interpretation, gift of faith, and all that. We'll hit that. But why did he lay that on our heart? I didn't know why. And then all of a sudden, we're doing the daily delights, the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit. And we're going through that, and we've been going through that for, how many did you write so far? 245 of them that's been written. So that's how many days we've been going through these daily delights. And the thing about it is I started thinking, the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, what is he doing? What he's doing is he's preparing us to be able to speak by his Spirit. That's what's coming up. But if you don't know, because here's what happened. He's raising up the people to put this thing back in order. That's what he's doing. Because this world is in chaos. And they don't know. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of belief. Our government is out of control. Our government is out of control. And the people in the church are freaking out. They are panicking because they have no control. They can vote. That's all they can do. They can't believe what's happening. So now they're praying for the rapture quick. You know what I'm saying? They're praying for the great escape. That's what's happening. Is they're really got that on their revivals are now geared around rapture. Please get us out of here before this thing erupts. The thing, it ain't happening. That's where we have to be strong. Because the thing about it is we have to know what we believe and we have to operate it. See, you get the Torah in you. When you get the Torah in you, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to reveal and speak out the truth. Not my opinion about what I think is going to happen. It doesn't care what I think is going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. When it happens, we're going to be like Peter. When the Holy Spirit fell, he said, oh, this is what was said by the prophet Jonah. That's what, when it happens, then we're going to be able to say, oh, this is what was said by Isaiah, or this is what was said by Jeremiah, this is what was said. That's what the important part is. Obedience is the order. That's right. Obedience is the order to follow, not this. See, you can be obedient to that. That's chaos. See, that's what's happening because they've been taught this is all you got to do. That brings chaos. Or you only have to do four things. Or you don't have to do whatever. It does it every day Shabbat. You know, every day's the Sabbath. I've heard that all. You know, every day's this is my Sabbath. Yeah, you're right. It's yours, but it ain't his. That's the problem. It ain't his. Stomp my feet and throw my passy at him. You know what I'm saying? You're right. It's yours. It's not his. Wake up. Pull the hair. That's the thing. It's his. That's the why we're here. That's why I have a. That's I pastor. I'm to relate this book to you, not what I think. I just forget the book and then come out here and just start teaching a bunch of pages of stuff. Goodness. Okay, Isaiah 56:3. Our Jewish brothers has got to get the revelation that this ain't any good. But our Christian brothers has got to get the revelation that this ain't any good either. Okay, and that we've got to do it his way. But I can say something else. I'm glad you brought that. Obedience brings order. But do you know enough chaos can wake you up to where you'll start seeking order? That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening. But this is what's coming up in the new decade for us is that voice, our mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. You got to know that the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit has got to speak through you. But there again, I'm just going to tell you like it is. If you don't have the fruits of the Spirit operating in your life, you have no business opening your mouth. You don't. You just don't. Because you're going to tell them something goofy. You're going to tell them your flesh. You're going to throw something out there in the flesh because you think it sounds good or whatever. No. Look, there's some hard word. Hard word, if somebody is in sin, look, if somebody's an alcoholic, they don't need you to minister to them with a bottle of whiskey. You know, we're going to ease this in there to them. You know, keep them drunk while ministering. No, you can't do that. Do you know what? Sometimes when somebody's an alcoholic and you take away alcohol, what happens to them? Chaos happens. But really and truly, they're already in chaos because they're an alcoholic. They're in chaos and they're trying to manage it. But then what happens is, but to bring healing and order to their life, you have to remove that which caused the chaos to start with. But usually it's a mindset to start with. But then there's something that happens and the alcohol comes in. You remove that, then guess what? You're right, there's added chaos, but there's turmoil. But once there's that total breakdown to realize that this ain't working, I don't need this alcohol here to survive. I need this word to survive. And then once they do that spiritually into their life, then guess what? Then order is being restored the way it's supposed to. Then the joy of the Lord, the joy of Yahweh, the very shalom and peace, the love, all of that can now take place. What are we saying? The fruits of the Spirit now can start operating in somebody's life. It's just the way it works. Okay, we talked about, it's always been about all the people. He chose Abraham, and he chose the people to be a light to the nations. The nations. Not that they would just be a light unto themselves. They were to be a light to the nations. They were to bring the Torah and the Ruah to the nations. But yet they failed because of their own. They wanted to be like the what? The nations. That was Israel's problem. But this is the church's problem too. We want to be like the heathens. We want to be like the nations. We don't want to change to be like Elohim. Some things we do, but other things we just don't want to do. We just want a mixture. Israel wanted a mixture, but that's done away with. Okay, verse 3 says this, let not the foreigner, now a foreigner, is that Israel? No, a foreigner is a foreigner. It's a Gentile or a nation. It says, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to Yahweh say, Yahweh will surely separate me from his people. So where is the foreigner supposed to be grafted into? His people. heavenly days. Let not the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. What does he mean by that? I have no inheritance. A eunuch cannot reproduce. He has no inheritance. He's on his own. He says, please don't let him say, where's my inheritance? Your inheritance is grafted into the people of Israel, grafted into the tree. For thus says Yahweh, Yahweh speaking here, to the eunuchs who keep the first day of the week. No, he says to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths, and it's plural, the weekly and the festival. Because what are the Sabbaths? They're moed. They're moedim. What does it do? There's times and seasons. It brings order in our life. That's what he was saying to the eunuchs who keep my order, my moedim, my Sabbaths, who choose these things, the things that please me, and hold fast to my covenant. Now, what would you think would be the things that pleases him? His word that he just flat throws out there. Because did we not read in Numbers that there's one law for all? And that's what the foreigner's doing here. And hold fast to my covenant, the Torah, one law. This is not his covenant. This is not his covenant. And neither is the other 40 million thousand creeds that are out there from everybody else. His covenant is his word right here that we all have, that they all have. He says, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. For the foreigners who join themselves to Yahweh to minister to him. Guys, what are we doing here? We're ministering to him. This is why this is an appointed time. He called this together. He wants his people to come before him and minister to him. He gives gifts. He gives some of us gifts to be able to speak, to be able to articulate. I wish he'd give me the gift of reading. But he gives some people gifts. What are y'all laughing at? He gives some people gifts of playing these instruments. Is it not awesome to have a music team that can play instruments? I mean, I can listen to the music and me sit down. I mean, it's just awesome because I remember the day when we had to have tapes to play. And I mean, have you ever tried to move in the spirit and a tape end? Okay, spirit's done. Tape's over with, spirit's done. You know what I'm saying? But to be able to flow, we have fought through some things. But he's saying this for the foreigners who join themselves to Yahweh to minister to him. That's what this is about. To love the name of Yahweh. That's the first commandment. Loving his name. And to be his servants. And then what does he say? Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and hold fast to my covenant. And he's talking to foreigners, ladies and gentlemen. He's not talking to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's talking to all those nations who are grafted into these guys. And these guys are doing what? They're honoring his Sabbath. Why do we continue to honor his Sabbath? Because his Sabbath and his Moedim, his Sabbaths, it brings order in our life. If we don't have this in our life is going to be full of chaos because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know who we're serving or why we're serving or how we're ministering on these appointed times. It's just awesome how he brings that to pass. Verse 7, these I will bring to my holy mountain. Who? The foreigners who honor his ways and make them joyful in a house of prayer. Do you know that this scripture right here, Yeshua quoted in Matthew 21:13, when he says, my house will be called a house of prayer. Now, it's funny here. Because at the end of this scripture here, it says, for all peoples, it doesn't say that in verse 13. But who was Yeshua talking to? Israel. He wasn't talking to Gentiles. They knew this word. So he didn't have to quote everything about it. He referenced to Isaiah 56:7 from Matthew 21:13. He says, these I will bring to my holy mountain. I will make them joyful in the house of prayer, in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Paul got beat because he was bringing the nations into the temple, even though he just brought them into the court of the Gentiles because they still had the wall up during that day. And they didn't like the Gentiles being in there. But he says, but in my house, on my holy mountain, I'm going to, because it's a house of prayer, and I'm going to bring these foreigners in. And they're going to bring their sacrifices, and they're going to be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for what? For all nations, for all peoples. Not just a select group. Not just for a select group. And Yahweh Elohim, who gathers the outcast of Israel. There's outcasts. Declared, and he says, what? There's outcast of Israel. He's gathering them, but then what does he say? I will gather yet others to him beside those already gathered. Guys, that's as plain as it gets. And the thing about it is if he's gathering the outcast of Israel back, that's what Yeshua's job was when he came. He is also now gathering the nations. That was Paul's job. He sent him to the Gentiles and to the scattered and to the masses in Asia to be able to bring them back. His word is given to us to do the same thing. We have the same exact mandate that Yeshua and Paul had of being able to minister his word, to gather his people, and know that there's not two covenants. There's not two sets of rules. There's not two groups of people. There's one group of people, and it's all the people coming in. And this is a prophecy that Isaiah is saying this is going to happen. Let's go to Zechariah 14 and we'll finish up with this one. All right. This chapter is the last chapter of Zechariah, I believe it is. Talking about the coming of the day of Yahweh, or Yeshua. We're going to start in verse 16. Now, this is sort of about as end as you can get, okay? Because this is what we're talking about in this Sukkot season is the end, okay? Marriage Supper of the Lamb, the whole thing, the end. There's going to be people in the first part of this chapter that's going to rise up. Nations are going to rise up against Yeshua, and he's going to put them down. Verse 16. Then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come up against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to do what? To worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to do what? And to keep the Feast of Booths. Now, we're talking about at the very end of the end of the end. Now, Yeshua's on the scene, and they're keeping the Feast of Booths. And if any of the families of the earth, he's calling us all families. We're a family. We're never supposed to have been separated like that. But if any of the families of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, there will be no rain for them. And if the family of Egypt does not go up and present themselves, then on them there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague with which Yahweh afflicts the what? The nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations who do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. I thought this was so ironic that when you're talking about Isaiah was talking about the Sabbath, those are the nations who keep the Sabbath. Now we're in Zechariah, he's talking about those who keep the feast, the nations who keep the feast. So guys, can we all agree, and I know you do, that we are a people that have to keep the feast. That we are set up to where Shabbat and the feast are of the utmost importance, because if we want this in our life, that's what it's going to take to get it. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. That's why it's so important during this time and season. This is why he laid this on my heart, because I really believe that we're coming up to a time to where he is going to open our mouths and he is going to put, he's going to fill it with his word and how to say what he needs to say to restore order back before he returns. Now, will order totally be restored back? The book says no. I'm already going to tell you that. But if you don't have order in your life, in my life, we won't endure the end. We won't endure all of the mess that's coming down the pike. You won't endure, guys, government, whether it's capitalism, socialism, or communism, is not going to save your soul. Because here's the problem. When it comes to government and whoever's in charge, oh, they take care of their own. It's evident there's a two-tier law system. If I did a little bit of what's been going on up there, there's not enough life sentences for me to fulfill. They may even build me a new jail and name it with my name. I have never in my life seen lawlessness like I've seen it. And people, I mean, just flat. I'm talking about people that stand there and take an oath. They don't even care about the oath of office that they're talking about anymore. That's right, Taurus, lawlessness. It is rampant. It's rampant all over. So, guys, if you want to keep your sanity, because we're alive and well, and we're moving through these feasts and festivals, and until he tarries, we're going to have to go through whatever happens. But he promises that if we will keep his word, order will be maintained in our lives. Because it's going to take that when persecution comes. Because if persecution comes and you don't have this in your life, if you're in this, it will be magnified. You will tell one person one thing and another to try to save your skin. This is why this is so important. Amen. Let's pray.